Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Time to eat some food at a restaurant that has streaks in the toilet. Before we get to the bad toilet in a restaurant, we're going to take some silence. 5 seconds of silence. Brought to you by Smarticle. Okay, Brandon, here's the headline. If you see this in a restaurant, put down the menu and make other plans. This is comes to us via Food and Wine in Duran, Cardoza. Can't have Wokamagameter. You just can't do it.
I don't think there's a Wokamagameter on this. This article was so funny. I literally caught myself laughing out loud several times just because of how obvious it is. But there's no reason. I don't know if woke people or MAGA people wouldn't. This might be the one thing we all agree on.
Well,
woke or MAGA.
The reason I wanted to put this on the agenda today is this. I don't know. We just don't go to a lot of restaurants. I got 5 members of my family. We actually went out to a restaurant for my wife's birthday in February. I was shocked at how expensive it was. I was like, we paid $200 for like pasta. Like everybody had a bowl of pasta. Yeah. It is so, even going to Taco Bell or McDonald's, we cannot get out for more, less than $40. It is so expensive to eat out these days.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is because of COVID for sure. And part of that is just simply the inflationary costs of COVID are created by whatever it is. Because I noticed the same thing. I mean, obviously, I'm not in San Francisco, so it should be relatively cheaper, but it's really not. I mean, we went out to dinner. I noticed the other day, Corey ordered Uber Eats, and it was like $75. I was like, what did we order? Nothing. And it was just, I don't even know. It was like sushi from some place. And yeah, sushi is expensive, but we had like 2 sushi rolls. It was like $75. I'm like, holy cow. So yes, it has gotten crazy.
I do feel like before the pandemic, my family would go out often-ish to a restaurant, and I didn't have like complete sticker shock. But I was shocked when we went out for my wife's birthday of like, first of all, I was like, well, we don't really go out anymore. And I think it's just because of the cost. Like, I love being out in a restaurant with my kids, but we can't do it.
Yeah, I wonder a little bit if it's not the cost of the workers, too, you know, so employment costs is higher. I mean, all this stuff. You know, I was reading this interesting thing in the National Review, which is a very conservative magazine I get, and I really like it, but it was talking about...
What do the magas like to eat, Brandon?
Well, they don't really talk about magas in that. It's kind of the highbrow conservative people, but there was one article in there that was about green energy. And our author was like, hey, I'm all for green energy. The problem is people are going to start losing their minds when they see the cost of green energy. And I think that's all part of this is you've got to find that tipping point. I think that what will happen is that restaurants will go out of business because if you can't afford to go, it obviously if it's $200 to take a family, families aren't going there. At some point, it's going to correct itself, you would think.
Well, I think it is, right? Because when I was growing up, my family never went to restaurants. Like, that was a giant deal to go out and eat dinner. Giant. Right.
Yeah, us too.
And so, I think it kind of somewhere in there lagged towards it became more affordable and we did it more. And now we're going back to the old way of like, you go out to dinner, my kids are like, damn, we're going out to eat? Wow.
I have no knowledge of this, but you're right. I remember as a kid that if we went out to pizza, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest. I mean, we just ate at home every single night. And I think that number one, you live in a fancy city with lots of great restaurants. So that's part of it. And we live in a city, Asheville has great food culture here too, but it didn't cost this much before. I remember you used to be able to go out to my favorite taquery in the world, El Burrito Expresso, right down in Divisadero in San Francisco, and you could order a burrito for like $8.
Yeah.
You could not order a burrito at El Burrito. I haven't been there in a long time, but I'm imimagining.
That's 75 dinners. That's $75 for my family to eat dinner there.
Yeah, and that's takeout, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's gotten crazy, but that's not what this article's about.
No.
But it is interesting to talk about if you're going to be going, if you're going to be making choices on restaurants, maybe you're choosing the one with the streaky toilet because it's cheaper.
Well, I mean, I kind of brought that up to say that I would be disappointed to no degree if I actually took the family out and we went and you go to the bathroom at this restaurant and it's dirty. Mm. And in this article, they're saying, like, make a U-turn and get out right now if the But I mean, would you do that? You went to this restaurant, your family was there.
I'm going to withhold that because I had a couple thoughts about this in general.
Okay. All right.
I want you to give the six things and then I'll kind of give you my thoughts on them because I had a lot of thoughts about this. Some of them not so nice, some of them nice. It depends on the take.
Okay, so if you go into a restaurant and there's a dirty restroom, this article says leave. If you go into a restaurant and it's got a 10-page menu and they're talking glowingly about their food, you should leave that because they say that food should be simple on a menu. There's sticky menu and the salt and pepper shakers are grimy, you should leave. If there's some sort of strong odor emanating from the restaurant.
Not a good odor, like chemical odor.
If you're being ignored, like the waitress doesn't come up or the hostess doesn't come see you, you should leave.
I'm giving that one a complete separate aside. I got a whole thought on that one, but that's separate from the other one.
And photos of the food. If they've got photos on the food or the menu or on the wall, you should not be eating there, according to this article in Food and Wine.
So, okay, let me start from the beginning. Having lived in a city like San Francisco with lots of hole-in-the-wall restaurants, one of my favorite Vietnamese places ever probably had about five of these things that they mark as bad. It depends on the restaurant, honestly. If you're going to a hole-in-the-wall place, you cannot expect... I mean, we make a joke because I have a basement bathroom that we don't... It's just like down in the basement, whatever. But it's we call it the Chinese restaurant bathroom because it's got like...
Racist! Yeah,
no, because if you go into a Chinese... Racist. If you go into a Chinese or Asian restaurant... Oftentimes, because of small space in San Francisco, they will have everything in there, like their paper towels and their all their supplies are in the bathroom. So we call it that.
Don't associate me with the racist comments from the Doble family, please.
I do not think that's racist at all. Here's what I think. It's similar to those people that say, how could, you know, a movie comes out that's a comedy and they're like, it's terrible. I'm like, well, it's a comedy. You can't compare Anchorman to... Shawshank Redemption. It's just two totally different things. It doesn't mean that Anchorman is not an amazing movie, because guess what? It is an amazing movie. It's one of the funniest movies of all time. But is it going to win an Academy Award? I think comedy should have their own whole own thing, because people are never going to give a comedy, or rarely I'd say they give it an Academy Award. Same thing like this. If I go into a hole-in-the-wall restaurant, my favorite Vietnamese restaurant on Clement Street, they have pictures on the wall, their menus are clearly...
I hate that.
Why?
That's disgusting. I feel like you're trying to sell it too hard if they've got pictures of
I don't think that's the point. I honestly wonder if within Asian culture that might just be the way you do it. The food is amazing. I love the thing. Their point was, look, if the menu's dirty, if the toilet's dirty, that means the kitchen's dirty. Well, guess what? In San Francisco, odds on, it's probably going to be dirty. But you know what? I'll hold my nose and eat the amazing pho, because that's just what you get at a hole-in-the-wall restaurant.
Yeah, also being ignored, sometimes that's the shtick of the restaurant.
Okay, that's a separate issue. Okay. Oh, that is my addendum to the whole thing. Nothing bothers me more, especially when I go to an expensive restaurant or one that's not like a hole-in-the-wall place. Because, by the way, hole-in-the-wall places want to get you in and out of there as quick as possible, so they actually come to you super fast. I've never waited in my life at an Asian restaurant. They just don't. They want you in and out. They want to turn tables. They're doing it, you know, they're working hard to get you in and out of there. The food comes fast, whatever. We have this restaurant that's in our neighborhood that we love. During COVID, it was only when it kind of had an outside patio, we would go there. And we know the owner, super nice and everything. But for whatever reason, I think that the wait staff has turned over a lot. And they're like millennials or Gen Zers who don't want to work, because they look at you like, you're like, hi, can we get a table? They kind of look at you with this dumbfounded look, and then they take you to your table, and then you sit there and you wait for a waiter. We waited one day for a half an hour till we finally just got up and left, because they hadn't even taken our drink order yet.
I get your idea of the millennial being lazy.
I don't think millennials are lazy. I'm just saying.
Or whoever it was. But if you own that restaurant, don't you train your...
Of course. This is on the owner of the restaurant. I've often said, when you walk into a restaurant and you see empty tables and there's a line, then that's on the owner. That owner should be out there schlepping table, busting those tables, because you want to have people sitting at those tables. Every single table in your restaurant should be full before you ever have anybody wait. I fundamentally believe that. Now, the owner would say, hey, I just couldn't get worker. And that's true. There is truly a worker shortage of people that want to do that kind of service industry stuff. So that is the caveat. If you can't get somebody, I understand it. But what they need to do, in my opinion, is just simply tell you, hey, listen, We are shorthanded. We want to serve you, but we cannot take you to this table right now because we don't have enough wait staff to do it. Just be honest. But they don't. They kind of go, oh, yeah, there'll be a 30-minute wait. You look at, you're like, half the restaurant's empty. How is there a 30-minute wait? But what they do is they don't want you to walk away. So I like that about this article saying, just walk away. You don't need to stay there.
To me, I think the restaurant, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but it's fundamentally changing. Like, how often the restaurants that my kids are growing up on, you don't wait to be served. You go to a counter, you make your order, then you sit down and the food comes to you. Whereas when I grew up, that type of restaurant never, I mean, that was like McDonald's.
That's like street food, though. I mean, we have one here in town that's it's called.
But Bob's Big Boy or these restaurants.
That's in San Francisco, bro. That's not.
No. It's called, I forget the exact term of it. It's like called fancy fast food or whatever. That's the way restaurants are headed because they want to get rid of servers.
Right. Well, or they can't get servers or they can't afford whatever it is. Yeah, I totally agree. The worst part of that is when they charge you the tip on top of the fact that they didn't even serve you. But whatever, we already did a show on that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that if it's transactional. But if they're going to have wait service, they need to figure that out. I go to this one little diner here in town that I absolutely love. It's called Cornerstone. I go with my buddy John. We get breakfast there. It's my favorite breakfast place. The food's fine. It's eggs and bacon and whatever. And I think it's actually really good for a diner. But what I really love about this place is I've never once walked in there and not gotten great service. And that's the ownership. The ownership's like, hey, we're going to make sure we have enough wait staff. We're going to make sure we have enough people. We're going to pay them enough. I just think that's part of it. If you own a restaurant, hey, charge me more money, but give me good service.
I just don't, the good old days. Let's talk about the good old days. Sure. Where Flo was your waitress at the local coffee shop and all was well, and she had a career and a life and it worked.
Nah, I don't know if she did, but.
But it's just people that work at restaurants these days just seem disgruntled. It's not the way it used to be. It's harder. They don't make a lot of money and people are angry.
Yeah, because we talked about minimum wage last week. I mean, they could do sub-minimum wage. So they're like putting this on people. And if people aren't tipping, or if, by the way, if the food's gotten super expensive and people are like, well, I can't come out to eat. Or when I do come out to eat, I'm only going to tip 10, 15%. Maybe they're going to, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the idea of filthy tables and filthy menus, to me, it seems a no-brainer. It's like, ooh, yeah, there have been places that we have walked. We took Maple this place. It should have been the greatest thing ever. It's called the Hot Dog King. I was all excited to try his hot dog. I mean, hot dogs, right? Who doesn't love hot dogs?
Yeah.
It was the grossest, most disgusting place. Yikes. Even Maple was like, I don't ever want to go back there. She's 8, dude. It's a hot dog. But it was really foul. So I thought there was nothing in the article where I was like, nah, that's not true. Everything was spot on. I definitely think if the bathroom's filthy, you got to leave.
Okay, so this is what I've just gotten out of today's episode, is that the Dobles have very high standards for their food. Like if they can do the finger test on the table, if the wait staff is rude, you guys are five-star only, five-star family.
I feel like you started this by saying you wouldn't go to a restaurant. You don't like pictures on the wall. That's what
I don't, that's the only thing.
You don't
that's like my
on the
one
wall.
Thing.
You're okay with a disgustingly greasy menu?
Because sometimes that's part of the charm. Like that is like you go to the greasy spoon.
I feel like you're a complete hypocrite. You literally just said you're not going to a place with pictures on the wall. What about the big menu? Last thing, what about the big menu? Are you okay with that?
You know, well, the thing that immediately when I thought
Cheesecake
of that,
Factory?
That's exactly what I thought. Cheesesteak. You go in there like, oh my God, how can they cook
400 things? Those are all pre-made meals. They microwave everything there. You should never eat at a Cheesecake Factory.
Just under the categories that you've talked about today, let me just guess where you're going to dinner Friday night or you just went. Did you guys go to Chez Panisse? Is that the type of place? Because it seems like with the Doble's high standards, you
Chez
guys
Panisse.
Only...
Is
Chez
that
Panisse.
A, is that here in Nashville?
No. I'm just saying, that type of, like, are you going to somewhere?
Chez Panisse, I think it is. There is a Chez Panisse in Asheville.
Of course there is. And it's a high star.
I hate it. It's Indian
it's a Michelin,
food.
You only Indian eat a Michelin starred. You only eat a Michelin starred restaurant. That's what I'm getting from the Dobles. Your daughter has a hot dog preference. 100%
wrong. You clearly don't know me if you think that. We've been friends for 25 years. You know that I am John Doble's kid, dude. I am a pauper. I eat poor food. And
you're
I'm
raising
okay
a very expensive daughter with hot dog tastes.
I have a hard time going to really expensive restaurants. That's full disclosure. I feel uncomfortable going to high-end restaurants.
Listen.
I don't want a dirty restaurant. I'm okay with pictures on the wall. Big menu, unless I'm on the road and I'm going to a, what's that, Cracker Barrel? then I'm no. I'm
I
not
used
going
to think places. I wanted my son to date your daughter, but now she's going to have such high standards. I'm thinking there's no way that he can ever live up to her.
Your
hot
son
dog
would never
test.
Have a chance.
There's
anyway.
No way.
All right, Larry, I'd like to thank you for once again teaching us all that you're a hypocrite, that you don't like pictures on the wall, and that you will never eat at a restaurant where the bathroom is even the tiny bit soiled.